This is Dave Jeffrey welcoming you once again to Optimal Life. It's that program where we look at those wonderful years when we approach retirement. In today's program, we're going to have a look at the end of World War II. What a happy time. The importance of making a proper will, with the emphasis on proper, and our health, statins. Are they good or bad? And health insurance. And for us old veterans, the Covenant Pack. Well, we begin today's program with a look at that wonderful time. With the recent anniversary of the end of World War II, we thought we'd take a look at an account of the mixed feelings that came with it. This is entitled The Moment Sydney Stopped to Dance in the Streets, and it's taken from the Australian newspaper on the 11th of August, written by Matthew Bennis. The cheering and shouting coming from outside was too much for the five young women working as dressmakers in the city. They just could not ignore it. Elaine Toogood, now 95, said, "Our boss told us it was the end of the war." That moment came on August the 15th, 1945, and it's still fresh in my mind. She said, "We downed tools and went outside. People were coming from everywhere. But the joy was tempered with sorrow. All had been touched by the war that claimed almost 30,000 Australian lives." The brother of one of Mrs. Toogood's colleagues, Phillips Doak, died from his wounds shortly after returning from fighting in New Guinea. Mrs. Toogood went on to marry Stan. They live in a nursing home in Ballina. They had two daughters who grew up in peacetime thanks to the sacrifice of so many during World War II. As the war officially ended on that winter's day, the five dressmakers from the now-demolished St. James building next to David Jones jumped on the back of a newspaper truck and danced as it threaded its way through Martin Place. As the friends linked hands and danced in the street, a photographer captured the moment in what would become an iconic picture marking victory in the Pacific. Mrs. Toogood said, "It's something you would never forget as long as you live." And that was a lovely look at the happy time, the end of World War II. What a great event it must have been. We're going to look now at the subject of wills. Not only is it absolutely imperative, of course, that you have a will, it's crazy not to, you must also look at the content of the will. This article entitled Troubling Precedent Set by Court in Overruling a Legal Will. It's from the Sydney Morning Herald on the 5th of August, taken from the Money section, written by Noel Whittaker. It is important to have an updated and valid will, but many people do not understand that some assets fall outside this. These include money in superannuation, insurance bonds, and assets held as joint tenants. Joint tenancies are known in law as will substitutes. This is because they take the place of a will and can even have precedence over it. If an asset, such as a house, is held in joint tenancy, then the entire asset passes to the survivor on the death of the other joint tenant. This is irrespective of what the will stipulates. This happens even if someone dies intestate, that is, not having made a will. In this case, the estate is divided in terms of the laws of intestacy. If assets are held as tenants in common, the part owned by the deceased may be transferred under the terms of their will. Now, the major challenges in this area is that the law is continually changing. The outcome may depend on which state you live in, and most people's circumstances are fluid. Relationships change. People may die or become incapacitated. Some assets may be sold, others may be acquired. To make it even more confusing, some assets form part of the estate and some do not. Historically, it was recognised that when one of the joint partners of an asset held in joint names died, the asset automatically went to the surviving owner. This was irrespective of the terms of a will. However, in February, the New South Wales Court of Appeal handed down a judgment. It was the Cowap versus Cowap. Such a manner that the deceased's will was effectively ignored. Geoffrey Cowap died in December 2015. He was survived by his wife Barbara of 57 years. At the time of his death, they had 5 children between them, and she had several children from a previous marriage. This included Nicholas, who was adopted by Geoffrey. The couple's only significant asset was their family home, worth about $1.4 million. As it was held in joint names, it automatically passed to the widow on Geoffrey's death. The estate was almost worthless apart from the house that passed to Barbara. Nicholas suffered a series of heart attacks in May 2016. These left him with permanent brain injuries that prevented him from being self-sufficient. He sued the estate to obtain a share of the value of the house, even though it was not part of the estate. The primary judge's decision, after weighing each party's needs against one another, ruled that even though Geoffrey and Barbara had been joint tenants, the law in New South Wales permitted the court to claw back the property. They called it part of Geoffrey's notional estate. The Court of Appeal agreed. The court ordered the house to be sold for $600,000. The proceeds then were awarded to Nicholas on the grounds of his need. So now, in New South Wales at least, we do not have an estate. We can have a notional estate. As one lawyer recently opined, there is now no such thing as a watertight will. That article, taken from the Sydney Morning Herald on the 5th of August, entitled "Troubling Precedent Set by Court Overrules a Legal Will," just shows the need that you must have a will. Also, you must have a good will. He said there's no such thing as a watertight will, so for goodness sake, make sure you get onto it, if not already. All right, we're going to stay in the financial vein for a while. This is Tips How to Get a Low Rate. Again from the Sydney Morning Herald, this one on the 3rd of August, written by Anthony Blaine. Home loan interest rates are dropping below 2%. But if you want them, you'll probably have to leave your existing bank. Intense competition among lenders is driving downward pressure just a year after mortgage rates first broke below 3%. Mortgage lenders are tipped to cut their rates, even though the Reserve Bank is expected to keep its official rate steady. RateCity.com.au research director Sally Tindall said a new 1.98% fixed rate by home finance is a possibility. But many other mortgage rates were near 2%. If you have a $400,000 mortgage and switch from an average owner-occupied rate of 3.28% to 1.98%, you could potentially save $3,996 in the first year. You need to think about turning yourself from an existing customer to a new customer. This is because these rates are not available for anyone who sets and forgets. Australia now has 75 lenders offering at least one fixed rate below 2.5%. There are 10 lenders offering ongoing variable rates below 2.5%. People have realised with COVID that bad things can happen. They realise that they can save themselves thousands of dollars a year. How do they do this? Simply by looking to refinance. However, some such ultra-low mortgage rates become with extra conditions. Borrowers might not fit their lending criteria, they say. Okay, let's look at the lowest mortgage rates. And I'm being very broad here because there are other terms and conditions, but Freedom Lend, they have 2.17%. Reduce Home Loans, 2.19%, Homestar, 2.29%, Home Finance, 1.98%. So there you are, there are some very cheap loans. All you've got to do is look around. Now we're going to stay in the same vein here on the finance, and this one is how you can access financial help. Again from the Sydney Morning Herald's Money Section, this one's written by Sophie Ellsworth. Struggling Australians in urgent need of financial help have plenty of free options available. Now, I'm going to say this again. There are plenty of free options available. All you've got to do is look around. Financial Counselling Australia, their Chief Executive Officer, Fiona Guthrie, urged anyone struggling to pay their bills or make ends meet, contact your creditors immediately. Act early. You are not alone, she said. The first thing you should do is talk to your credit provider. Why? Well, they usually have well-functioning hardship programs. She said it often came down to negotiating financial arrangements with your provider. If necessary, for example, with the banks, you can still defer payments. But if you need more help, then ring the National Debt Helpline. During the pandemic, Ms. Guthrie said financial counsellors had not been as busy as usual. Why? Because of an increased financial assistance that is available. This includes JobKeeper payment program. There's rises in the JobSeeker payments, that was previously known as Newstart. There's an ability for people to access their superannuation early. But the Consumer Action Law Centre's Chief Executive Officer, Gerard Brodie, said if you're struggling to meet any of your regular costs, these are things such as utilities or loans, do not be afraid to ask for help. Phone them up. Tell them about your predicament. Ask them for financial hardship assistance, he said. Now, this is interesting. He said, they are obliged at law to offer you assistance that meets your needs. Now, I'm going to say that again. These are the providers. They are obliged at law to offer you assistance that meets your needs. They've got to look after you. Now, this is whether that's reduced payments or deferrals, cuts in interest rates or waiving fees. Many Australians have sought assistance, including loan deferrals. The latest Australian Prudential Recognition Authority data showed at the end of June there was $274 billion worth of loans granted temporary repayment. Some of them got deferrals. This is close to 10% of all outstanding loans nationally. Mr. Brodie said that if a credit provider failed to be of assistance, the customer could complain to the relevant ombudsman. Ms. Guthrie warned people to be careful paying third parties to get them out of debt. Now, that's worth repeating, I think. She said here, be careful of getting third parties to help get you out of debt, like loan sharks, etc. And the national debt line, 1-800-007-007. I'll come back and say that again. I just wanted to repeat a couple of things here. It says, talk to your credit provider. Don't be frightened to ask. They are bound by law to help you. And loan deferrals are a real possibility. And Ms. Brodie said, credit providers, if they fail to be of assistance, you can complain to the relevant ombudsman. And the last point, beware of third parties to help you get out of debt. And the number again for the National Debt Helpline. Don't be frightened to call these people. Easy one to remember. 1-800-007-007. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Well, we're going to switch now and have a look at health. And they say as we get older, the two main things that interest us are our money and our health. Statins, a saviour for the over 75s. This came from the Daily Telegraph on the 12th of August. Taking cholesterol-lowering drugs cuts elderly death rates by 25%. Now, that's a hell of a statement. Protects not just those at risk of heart attacks, a new study says. Groundbreaking research shows that people over the age of 75 prescribe drugs called statins. Now, that's S-T-A-T-I-N-S. These people are less likely to die within a decade. This groundbreaking research shows that people over the age of 75 prescribe drugs called statins. Now that's S-T-A-T-I-N-S. These people are less likely to die within a decade. It came from the Boston-based Brigham and Women's Hospital study of more than 300,000 Americans aged 75 and over. It revealed that those taking statins were 25% less likely to die from any cause other than those who were not taking it. The drugs lowered the risk of having a stroke or a heart attack by one-fifth. Patients, including more than 2.6 million Australians, are commonly prescribed statins, often in middle age. This is mainly to control harmful cholesterol levels in the blood and reduce the risks of heart attacks and strokes. But the study had wider benefits. One of the most remarkable things about the results is the benefit of statins held true regardless of whether a person was older or younger, or whether they had a condition such as dementia. Professor Jeremy Pearson, Associate Medical Director at the British Heart Foundation, described the findings as robust. He said, "It adds to an increasing body of evidence that statin use significantly reduces cardiovascular death rates in the over 75s. Now, experts say there's no definitive evidence that statins cause or prevent cancer. However, in February, experiments at John Hopkins Medical Center added to mounting evidence that statins may kill cancer cells. A trial at the Duke University last year found that those taking statins were 38% less likely to die from colorectal cancer. Despite this, statins remain controversial. This is because of claims about safety and side effects." Well, that's an interesting article there. Statins, they sound almost too good to be true. They said they're not sure of the side effects yet. I guess nothing's perfect, but you might like to talk to your doctor about it. Statins, S-T-A-T-I-N-S. Okay, still on health insurance, a golden rule for oldies. This article, called "A Golden Rort for the Oldies," came from the Telegraph, Sydney Telegraph, on the 17th of August. It's written by Sue Dunleavy. It says, "People in their 70s are playing with health insurance. They are saving hundreds of thousands of dollars. How do they do this? They wait until they need surgery before they join. Well, this is driving up premiums in what has effectively been described as a Ponzi scheme. The Australian Medical Association has found a program that was originally designed to encourage people to join a health fund when they turn 30 has had the opposite effect. The leading medical body is calling for older people who delay joining a fund to face bigger penalty payments, while at the same time the under-35s would get a better deal under sweeping reforms. This is one of seven major reforms the top medical body says are needed. They say they need this to stop private health insurance being killed off by COVID-19. All right, here's how it works. If a person does not join a health fund until they need help or need a knee replacement in old age, they can avoid a premium of up to $5,000 a year for the over 40 years. Now, this potentially saves them hundreds of thousands of dollars. When they finally do join a health fund, the 70% penalty they pay costs them only $3,700 a year. This is on top of the $5,000 bill for a gold policy. Now, that's a bit technical there, but they're saying us older ones are saving money by not joining until we need help. But they're saying if you do join, this is the latest reforms they want, it'll save you in the long run. So all I can suggest there is make sure you find out if you're not in a health fund, or if you are, check it out. You might get a better deal. This is Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Our next article comes from the military publication Reveille. Now, it does pertain to us old diggers, but if that's not you, have a listen anyway, because you might just be able to help one of us. It's apply for your Covenant Pack today. More than 83,000 veterans and reservists have now applied for the Australian Defence Veterans Covenant. This includes the oath, the lapel pin, and the veteran card. However, wait, there's more. Meanwhile, the business benefits component of the veteran card is continuing to expand. There is 177 additional businesses registering since its November launch last year. These new offers are available through the APOD. Now that is Australian Partners of Defence. It's an online platform where veteran card holders can access more than 10,000 unique offers and deals. It gets better though. There's a further 245 businesses at various stages of the offer creation process. Interest in the program's remaining strong, thanks to support from the defence community. To gain access to offers and discounts, existing DVA health card or veteran card holders can simply register with APOD. They do this at apod.com.au. Now, we will say that again at the end of this article. It is entirely free for veterans and businesses. Veterans and eligible reservists who do not currently hold a DVA health card or a veteran card can apply through MyService. There you can also pre-register for APOD. Cardholders can then gain access to business offices by searching the APOD website. These include geographical, veteran-owned and concession search filters. It's important to read how to redeem information on your offer. Some businesses only require you to show your card, while others require an online purchase. And there's others need an exclusive offer code. Businesses range from small, local and veteran-owned businesses throughout to large chain stores that operate nationally. These include retailers, travel and tourism operators. There's accommodation, car hire, entertainment, hospitality, restaurants, as well as service and trade industries from gymnasiums to automotive mechanics. Now, if you feel that businesses or community organisations in your area have not heard of the veteran card, encourage them to find out more and show their support. For more information about how to apply to the covenant and support it, including eligibility and other frequently asked questions, simply visit recognition.dva.gov.au. Okay, that address again, recognition.dva.gov.au. Give them a call and try and help all us hole diggers, please. We'd like to ask a question now. Do you ever need legal advice but feel you can't afford it? Well, maybe we have the answer. It is the Seniors Rights Service. Their legal service provides advice to older people in New South Wales. They also offer comprehensive referral service, and they may also provide limited legal assistance for financially and socially disadvantaged older people. They can help you with consumers' rights, human rights, elder abuse, financial exploitation, planning for later life. Their Retirement Village Legal Service provides advice to residents of retirement villages. Now, this includes former and prospective residents. They'll help you on issues arising from disputes with the retirement village management or interpretation of a contract. This is under the Retirement Villages Act of 1999, New South Wales. They also provide service advocacy for recipients of all Commonwealth-funded aged care services. Things like information about rights and responsibilities. They will listen to your concerns. Help resolve problems or complaints with your aged care service providers. They'll speak with your service provider if required, and they can refer to other agencies where necessary. This is the Seniors Rights Service. Now, there's a couple of numbers and addresses here. The phone, Sydney 9281 3600, 1800 424 079, or you can get them on www.seniorsrightsservice.org.au. And I'll come back and say that again. Those numbers for this wonderful organisation, Seniors Rights Service, give them a call. Maybe they can help you, or very likely they can help you. Their number, 02 9281 3600 or 1-800-424-079. And their email, seniorsrightsservice.org.au. Well, that's about all we've got time for in our program, Optimal Life Today. It's been brought to you on the RPH Network, produced in the studios of 2RPH Sydney. And as always, we'd like to remind you that we welcome any feedback, criticism, praise whatsoever. Give me a call, Sydney 02-9518-8811. Let us know just exactly what you would like to hear in your program. And just one more thing before we go. We'd like to wish Teresa Plain all the very best. Teresa is the producer of our sister program, Aging with Attitude. And I know that you're in hospital having a knee operation as we produce this program. Teresa, you're very, very dear to us. You're very special. Hurry back. We look forward to literally seeing you back on your feet again soon and listening to your dulcet tones. Hurry back. We miss you. Well, that's it for our program today. Thanks very much for being with me. Bye now. Look forward to your company again soon.